You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, July 15th, and today, yet another spike in oil prices on Asian markets, trading right now at $146 and change. President Bush has handed congressional Democrats a challenge as it pertains to oil. Yesterday, he lifted an executive ban on the controversial issue of offshore drilling. Now, the lift has no power on its own because Congress must also lift the ban in what's called a two-key system, but the move is intended to put Democrats on the hot seat.
All that remains is for the Democratic leaders in Congress to allow a vote. The American people are watching the numbers climb higher and higher at the pump, and they're waiting to see what the Congress will do.
And for more right now, we're turning to Carola Hoyos, Financial Times chief energy correspondent, and she's coming to us from London. Good morning, Carola.
Good morning.
Now, this is really one thorny issue. Let's start with the reality. What is President Bush proposing, and is there agreement among experts that offshore drilling will actually help oil prices?
Well, let's be clear. Pretty much nothing is going to happen after this proposal. As you've mentioned, Congress still has to move on it. But it is relatively significant. People do think that more oil can come from these areas that are closed off. It's part of the coastline on the east and on the west coast and parts of the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. The question is really in many experts' minds whether this is the best move to make if you want to increase energy security and if you want to decrease prices. And on prices, you know, it's not insignificant. Yes, the oil won't flow for another 10 years because it takes a long time to look for oil, drill for oil, and then actually produce it. But the market will take into consideration the fact that there will be more access. But really, it's a drop in the bucket. So I don't, people filling up their tanks this summer are not going to feel a difference. So that's kind of the quick take and analysis of it.
Politically speaking, I mean, the House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi called it a hoax. Is President Bush really putting Democrats on the hot seat, though, because there seems to be some growing support for this idea of offshore drilling, particularly when people are feeling the pinch right now?
Well, I think he has put them on the hot seat, but I think wrongly so. You cannot drill yourself out of the situation we're in, and in fact, it's worse than a hoax. I think one of the problems that you've been seeing in the U.S. in particular, but in elsewhere as well, is that politicians are going for the easiest ways out, even if they're not a good idea. They're talking about tax holidays. They're talking about blaming speculators. They're not talking about the hard stuff, the stuff that is more difficult to sell to voters. And I'd argue that, in fact, it won't be so hard to sell. I think they're judging the voters incorrectly. What this does, and this is why I think it's worse than a hoax, is that it delays the debate that the U.S. needs to have on using energy more efficiently and really bringing its energy policy up to par with Europe and then maybe even further with Japan. That will make a big difference. Talking about drilling is a good idea and fundamentally, theoretically, could make a difference, but will have a very, very bad effect overall if it delays the real debate that needs to be happening.
Well, Carola, let me take the Bush position for just a moment. I mean, let's look globally for a moment. What if, forgetting U.S. politics for a moment, if the global sentiment is let's look for oil that's hard to get? At $140 barrel oil, we can find a lot of stuff that wouldn't have even tempted us before. Does that begin over time within this decade to have an effect on oil supply and ultimately price? Does that provide a tipping point going forward? And what would be the counterargument? Can you deliver an equivalent kind of counterargument on demand and conservation that will reduce the price in any sense?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. The issue isn't one of access, and it's not only an issue of access within the U.S. It's an issue of access around the world. And as parts of the world are shut to investments, companies that we know, the ExxonMobils, the Royal Dutch Shells, the BPs, the Total of France, are going to places like Canada to the tar sands that weren't economic in, at $40 oil, but really are now. That has serious environmental consequences, by the way. That's a mining project. That's not easy oil, as you mentioned. Another area is the Orinoco Belt in Venezuela that has similarly extra heavy crude oil. We're venturing in Norway into the Arctic Circle. Further down the line, the U.S. Geological Survey is looking to try and figure out just how much oil there is in the Arctic, in the deep, far-off Arctic. Now, technologically, it's going to be very, very hard to get out there. There's still a lot of ice and a lot of problems there. So that's not for kind of a decade onwards, and it's a bit of a pipe dream. But people are talking about it. The Russians, in fact, planted a flag last year on the seabed. And so politically, the movements are starting there. The Brazilians found a big deposit off their shores. We're moving into the very, very deep water of the U.S. Gulf of Mexico in areas that the industry really couldn't have drilled in a while back, probably about 10, 15 years ago, because they didn't have the technology. That's here now, and it's economical. And then, unfortunately, we're also moving into areas, or not we, but the Chinese, the Malaysians, and others are moving into very fraught areas in terms of human rights. They're moving
into countries like Sudan. So there's a real rush, Carola, because there's some real money to be made. Carola Hoyas, thank you.
Thanks.
Carola Hoyas is the Financial Times chief energy correspondent based in London, and she's becoming one of our pals here at The Takeaway.
And it's interesting how this focuses the issue of, do you go for conservation or demand issues, or do you focus on supply? It's a giant turning point. You can do one or the other, but you can't just sort of stay on the fence indefinitely. I think that's what she's saying.
Seems like a real catastrophic clash, actually.
Yeah.